Good morning. The markets are moving and so are you from the BizNews studios. This is BizNews Daybreak for Tuesday, the 13th of January, 2026. I'm Alec Hogg. Here's the context you need to win the day. Well, resources stocks were gangbusters on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange yesterday. Harmony up 9.5%, Impala Platinum 8.5%, Northern Platinum 7%, Valterra, that's the old Anglo Platinum, 6%, and that pulled the overall index up by 1.75%. The resources index itself, 5.75% better. So good news on that side. That helped the Rand. The Rand's currently trading at 16 Rand 40 cents. So putting a little bit of margin between itself and that barrier of 16.50. On the downside here in South Africa, the SA Inc. stocks came under pressure. Outsurance losing the most, more than 3% lower. Remgro down 2%. Sanlam, Kumba. So Kumba actually being against, going against the trend, if you think that resources stocks. But it does appear as though it's precious metals, and in particular PGMs, that are having a good run at the moment. Well, all of this happened before the news broke that Donald Trump has now drawn a line in the sand. He's just slapped another 25% tariff on any country trading with Iran. For South Africa, the math is brutal. We trade peanuts with Iran, mostly small agricultural exports, but we ship billions in cars and minerals to the United States. So this order, issued overnight by Donald Trump, puts the entire local auto and mining sector at risk. If Pretoria doesn't cut ties with Iran immediately, which seems like a very far fetch, South African goods face a crippling tax at American ports. The choice for the government of national unity is now binary. It's symbolic friendship with Tehran or another big known to our export economy on which the country relies so heavily. And that known is it's going to get a hiding. South Africa is what is called an open economy. Over half of our business activity and therefore jobs is directly linked to trade, either exports or imports. Well, while this fresh 25% tariff is hugely relevant for our country, it's merely a tag on to growing tension between the US and Iran. More relevant in Washington right now is kickback to threats to the US central bank independence. Here's the overnight headlines from Doug Krisner of Bloomberg.
Key Republican lawmakers are speaking out against a grand jury investigation of Fed Chair Jay Powell. On Sunday night, Powell said the Fed had been subpoenaed by the DOJ with threats of a criminal indictment. Powell said the action was related to his congressional testimony in June on renovations of the Fed's headquarters, but he also said this should be seen in the broader context of the Trump administration's threats and ongoing pressure. Well, immediately, Senator Tom Tillis, a key Republican on the Banking Committee who is not running for re-election, vowed to oppose any Trump nominees to the Fed until this matter is resolved. At the same time, Senate Majority Leader John Thune said the allegations against Powell better be real and serious. Meantime, the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, Jeanine Pirro, said tonight she did not seek a sign-off from her bosses at the Department of Justice before issuing a subpoena to the Fed. In a post on X, Pirro also said she does not plan to back down from this investigation. And she said the word indictment has come out of Mr. Powell's mouth, but no one else's. At the same time, this probe has elicited objections from GOP lawmakers, while recent comments from President Trump suggest he's trying to distance himself from this matter. In company news, Meta Platforms is planning to cut around 10% of workers in its Reality Labs division. This is part of a broader strategy to shift money away from some virtual reality products and into other AI wearables. We are told these layoffs are set to be announced this week. Citigroup is set to cut about 1,000 jobs this week. This is part of CEO Jane Fraser's plan to keep a lid on cost and improve returns. And BlackRock is cutting hundreds of jobs across the company. We are told these cuts total about 1% of BlackRock's total global headcount. That will amount to around 250 employees firm-wide. We go to Iran next, where the government says its security forces have full control of the country after 2 weeks of violent unrest. At the same time, President Trump said the U.S. is mulling potential options in response to reports of deadly crackdowns on Iranian demonstrators. Here is White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt.
One thing President Trump is very good at is always keeping all of his options on the table. And airstrikes would be one of the many, many options that are on the table for the commander-in-chief. Diplomacy is always the first option for the president.
White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt. Now, in a post on Truth Social today, President Trump said he will impose a 25% tariff on any country that trades with Iran effective immediately.
Well, that additional 25% tariff being levied on South African exports is just the latest consequence of deteriorating relationships with the United States and the company that the ANC is choosing to keep. I spoke last night to Josh Maservi of the Hudson Institute, which is one of the leading think tanks in Washington, to get an understanding of how Americans view Pretoria's friendship with Iran and its vibrant defense of Venezuela, leading the charge against the United States through the United Nations.
So when you hear the ANC or the South African government talk about principles or anti-imperialism, anti-colonialism, etc., that's code for partisan loyalty, right? And so no matter what the Cubas and the Venezuelas and the DPRKs and the Chinas and the Russias and the Irans of the world do, no matter how badly they abuse their own people, no matter how much instability they spread, the ANC and the South African government is going to support them because they're on their side. It really does boil. It's that simple in my analysis when you just look at the massive double standard that the ANC and the South African government applies to situations like Venezuela. I don't believe so. No, I think the ANC is so totally invested in this narrative of that they are these brave anti-imperialist, anti-colonialist, principled warriors that they would probably suffer a psychic break if they had to take a really objective look at their own actions and the types of regimes that they've ended up supporting. The suffering that the regimes they support have brought to people all around the world is extraordinary. Again, they're out there defending Maduro and demanding his release and leading the charge, against what the United States did. Maduro stole the previous election. Again, I guess I'd have to go back and look, but I know I won't find anything as far as ANC condemning the stolen election that Maduro launched. Maduro brought in Cuban troops to help repress his own people and to ensure his stay in power. And again, this was a narco kingpin. The best way to think about him is as a cartel leader.
Well, as tensions between the U.S. and Iran are far more than trade tariffs and military threats now becoming a reality, Iran's mullahs are defiant. Here's how the Financial Times news briefing host, Victoria Craig, discussed it with Andrew England. He'd be well remembered here in South Africa as the former correspondent based in Joburg.
Iran has warned America against a, quote, miscalculation after U.S. President Donald Trump doubled down on his readiness to, quote, help as 2 weeks of civil unrest continues in the Islamic Republic. Protests, which began over outrage over economic hardship in Iran, continued Saturday and Sunday despite a government crackdown. Andrew England is the FT's Middle East editor, and he joins me now to talk about the latest developments. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Victoria.
How big is this threat becoming for the Iranian government? Just give us a sense of how things have escalated over the past several days.
It looks very serious indeed, certainly the most serious since 2022, when there were the Women, Life and Freedom protests that spread across the nation. These latest protests seem to have escalated on Thursday evening, which was the start of the Iranian weekend. The government imposed near virtual complete internet communications blackout. So it's very hard for us to verify information or have a clear idea of what's going on. But from the reports we've seen, and with some activists getting videos out through Starlink, we assume, we can see that on Thursday night, massive crowds taking to the streets of Tehran and other cities. We know from state media reports that there have been lots of casualties within the security forces, which suggests there have been violent clashes. So it's extremely serious.
Iran's president has pledged to sit down and listen to people's concerns. And he said that it's the government's responsibility to solve the problems that the protesters are so upset about. But what does that process look like? And if it happens, is it too little too late?
Yeah, the president, Masoud Pezeshkian, he's a reformist president. He was elected about 18 months ago, and he promised to turn around the economy. And he talked about re-engaging with the West. None of that's happened. In fact, the economic situation has deteriorated. Now, he has tried to assuage protesters' concerns, but at the same time, the regime has been very clear. It's cracking down. It's blaming protests on foreign forces. So, you know, the president can say one thing and the regime can do another thing. Whilst clearly the government does want to try and stabilize the situation, it's been very clear that it's, you know, willing to crack down very, very firmly, as it's done in the past. And there are reports of dozens, possibly hundreds of protesters being killed, hundreds being detained, hundreds being wounded. It's very, very hard, I should say, for us to know any idea about the real numbers simply because of this communications blackout. So we're relying on what activists are saying, we're relying on human rights groups, but we really have no real insight into the sheer scale of what's going on.
And as we said, President Trump has said that the U.S. is willing to help, and there are reports that say the administration is weighing or considering some military options. But do we know what it might take for America to actually get involved, but more importantly, what the consequences could look like if that does happen?
President Trump has been very clear that if Iran kills protesters, the U.S. is locked and loaded and ready to rescue the protesters.
Carefully, I've made the statement very strongly that if they start killing people like they have in the past, we will get involved. We'll be hitting them very hard where it hurts. And that doesn't mean boots on the ground, but it means hitting them very, very hard where it hurts. So
now, we don't know if that's rhetoric. We don't know how real that is. Obviously, President Trump has shown a willingness to use the military. He joined Israel in bombing Iran's nuclear facilities during the 12-day war that Israel launched against Iran in June. I think the Iranians will take it very seriously. If he did strike, it's very unclear what his options would be. I mean, he could try and target the Iranian leadership. He could just send a warning signal. We just don't know. We're totally in the realms of speculation. The regime has been weakened militarily and economically, you know, since the war with Israel in June and regional conflicts before that. At the moment, the language coming out of Tehran is very defiant. So we're just waiting to see, really.
Andrew, given how quickly the story is developing, are there some key inflection points that we should be watching for this week?
Well, I guess just if the protests continue and on what scale, the degree of the authorities' crackdown, and what either Trump or Israel decide to do. Do they decide to intervene or not? All these factors will determine which direction it takes. At the moment, we just really don't know.
And now you have the edge. For the full interviews and details behind these stories, head over to biznews.com. We will have that interview, a very important one, with Josh Meservey up later this morning. I'm Alec Hogg. Thank you for starting your morning with us. Now go and seize the day.